Scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 25, reading from verses 14 to 30. Verse 14, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' May Lord bless the public reading of his word. Lord's messenger this morning is Pastor Elby.
Morning. Welcome to the first Lord's Day of the year. Sorry. And a blessed new year to one and all. Many people would have made some plans and resolutions on what you want to do, what you want to achieve. And I saw quite a few interesting ones, including those that are posted by our church members. You know, there are two that I felt is quite interesting, to say the least. This prayer, I believe, was written either by a realist or a pessimist. In 2019, may your neighbors respect you, troubles neglect you, possible not? Angels protect you, and that can only be possible when you are in heaven. Now, this is a prayer by an optimist. He says, "Dear God, my prayer for 2019 is a fat bank account and a thin body." But I like the second part of that prayer. It says, "Please don't mix it up like you did last year." What would your prayer, what would your resolutions be? Singaporeans. Well, this news site highlighted what is allegedly to be the top 5 New Year resolutions for Singaporeans. Lose weight, get fit, debt-free, travel, career advancement, grow our hard-earned money. Now, to be clear, these are all legitimate. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing unspiritual about them. Because it is good and godly to take care of ourselves. We are stewards of our life, our God-entrusted life. The challenge is in balancing self-interest and the interests of others. And that is why I find it very fascinating that Paul prefaced the great passage on the person and ministry of the Lord Jesus saying this: let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Now for Paul, looking after the interests of others is in fact Christ-likeness. And that is why we have this vision here in Zion Bishan. This is our church logo and our motto: a city on a hill and a light to the nations. We believe God has placed us or dropped us here in this location for a purpose. And like a water drop, we must grow deep as an individual. And as we grow deep, very naturally, like a water drop, we would cascade and propel ourselves outward to look into the desires, to look into the interests of our community, to look into the interests of the wider world. Now today is Stewardship Sunday. Hence I've chosen the parable of the talents to consider how we can use our resources to further God's kingdom of God, both as an individual within the sphere of our influence and corporately as a church, to see how we can be a blessing to look after the interests of our community and as God sends us even unto the utter ends of the world. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks indeed for your manifold blessings individually upon our life. Lord, we do not need to look far, just across the causeway, or perhaps even to our neighbors. We can see how much you have blessed us with. Use us to be your steward, to be your blessing. And as a church, we thank you for this beautiful sanctuary. Similarly, Lord, we ask that you will use us to be your blessings. That today, as we look to your word, teach us, Lord, to be your good steward. In Jesus' name. Today is about the parable of the talent. So, what is the talent? Well, the talent that our Lord referred to was a unit of currency. A very large unit, in fact. In those days, equivalent to about 35 kilograms of gold. I've checked just 5 days ago. Very accurate, this figure. 41,500 per kilo. A talent will come up to about $1.5 million USD. Now, can you imagine the value it was then? That the Lord says the master will entrust one talent, two talents, five talents. But pictures like this, using coins to represent one talent, two talents, and five talents, really do not give us the intensity of the parable intended by the Lord. The difference between one coin, two coins, and five coins seems very minimal. But talents are not coins. Maybe this is a better picture to give us a better understanding of why the third servant's actions and the seemingly harsh punishment. Because it was not one coin versus two or five coins. It was one huge amount versus two times and five times of that huge amount. It's a lot of difference, even by our standards, compared to, think about 1.5 million compared with 2.9 million. 2.9 million compared with 7.2 million. Now, if I may segue a little here, especially for those of us younger who are starting out in life, it is easy when we have $10 to give $1. It is easy when we have $100 to give $10. But as you earn more and more and more, you earn 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, you will realize the temptations to withhold will get stronger and stronger. And that is why it is so important to be faithful in the small things, because gradually it will be leading us up to the point where we will be equally faithful in the big things. This fact could not escape the Lord's listeners. Now, could it be that the Lord was implying that the third servant was sulking because he was given only one, but the other had been given two and five? He was so jealous that he did absolutely nothing. He could not see that he himself was also entrusted with a huge amount. And the huge amount of trust from the master, and more importantly, the huge potential right in his hand. Why? Because he was fixated on what others have. And the master was really proven right in how he gave the 1, 2, and 5 talents to the different servants. The Lord says the master decided that the quantum was to each according to his ability. Now notice that while the amounts may be different, the first two servants had similarly multiplied 100%. The master didn't take issue with the 5-talent servant for not making more, because he had so much more. The Lord also did not compare the 2-talent servant for not making 5 like the first servant. You see, calculation of percentages were around for at least 4 centuries before the Lord in Egypt, in ancient Egypt. Perhaps the Lord knew about percentages, and he was using this parable to say one thing. He is not expecting more than we can do. He is not expecting more than what we have. He is only asking for one thing: our 100% obedience, our 100% commitment, our 100% trust in him. But then again, the Lord had a larger purpose behind the talent parable, because he started this series of lectures on the end times in Matthew 24, where one of the disciples marveled at the magnificence of the Jerusalem temple, and the Lord told them that that temple will be destroyed because something more magnificent is to come. And therein, after verses 1 and 2 in chapter 24, he went on to describe his glorious second coming, the sudden end of the world, and in chapter 25 onwards, the need to be prepared in the parable of the 10 virgins. And then comes this parable of the talents. And when we take all this, the chain of thoughts of the Lord Jesus, into consideration, then the parable of the talents is more than just God wanting you and me to be good stewards. It's more than God just wanting us to use his blessings properly and do not waste it. And it's more than that. Let me quote to you what the commentator said beautifully. He said, Christians have sometimes pictured heaven as a state of rather passive adoration. You know, like when we go to heaven, we sit on the cloud, take the harp, ting tong, worship God. That's the picture that we usually see, right? But the Lord, in the parable of the pounds and the talents, as in that of the steward, speaks of the faithful being rewarded in the kingdom with the privilege of greater service and responsibility. The perfect peace of God's revolution is not sleep, but is life wonderfully renewed and relationship restored, the shalom of the Old Testament, a life of joy and service in God's presence. The parable of the talents was about the spirit of anticipation, purpose, and joy in the here and now, in the light of that great day. And that gives meaning, and that gives purpose to what we have and what we do in the here and now. The parable reminds us that the belief in the second coming is reflected in how we view what we have and what we do with what we have. So how do we use what we have? Well, one common question is this: can a Christian multiply wealth through investments or even buying branded materials, just simply making our lives more comfortable or perhaps even more luxurious? Can a Christian do that? Well, sometimes the Bible seems to say cannot. Remember the parable of storing the treasures in the barn? But at times the Bible seems to say yes, like this parable of the talents. Go and invest. Perhaps the best approach is not to think about yes and no. I think the best approach is to first find a handle to open the door of asset multiplication. And that is to ask ourselves, who owns our money? The psalmist proclaims, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. And the Lord said that our money is not ours, but that which is another's. That which is another's. That is God's. God is the true owner of everything and everyone and every life. And the Lord also said you cannot serve God and mammon. He clearly meant that either God or money is our master, but not both. There is no middle ground. But there is a second hander. Obviously, among all of us here, not every one of us are equally endowed. Some of you drive here in a Mercedes, right? Some of you come here in a Proton Saga, Lao Po Kai, right? Some have more and are able to do more. Some have little. And perhaps some of us here really have very little that you can do or you can give. So it's not fair to benchmark those who have less and cannot afford against those who have more and can. It's not for me to live in a 4-room flat to say, why you live in a bungalow? Right? It's not for those who, similarly, for those who have more and can do more and write a bigger check to the church and do not say, why you give so less to the church? No, you see. Me as a church, as a pastor after all these years, I really thank God for those who gave out of their wealth. And I also thank God for those who give their widows mite. Why? Because they are giving their all. And this is where the brilliance of our Lord's parable lies. Without any apologies, the Lord said it is God who owns everything, whether it is wealth, health, material, and above all our lives. We live life reflecting that He is the master and we are His stewards. Again, notice that it was at the master's absolute discretion on who to give how much. Notice also that the Lord used the exact same words for the master's commendation of the two servants. You may have earned 5, he may have earned 2. They were similarly commended and similarly rewarded. More importantly, notice also that the master has the power to give and he has the power to take away. And that is why the parable of the talents is really a double-edged story. While we would like to treat God as a benevolent giver of gifts, but let's not forget that God is also a demander of responsibility. The parable of the talents is about how much we appreciate what we have as entrusted by God, and that He expects us, whether we have more or whether we have less, to make the best of what we have in the light of that glorious day of His coming. And that is why our Lord put it in no uncertain terms in Luke 12. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. What is stewardship? Stewardship is really about the giving of one's best in whatever one does that arises out of the desire of giving one's best to God. Well, if you are in a good job, earning high income, do your best. Give of your best to earn more, to get higher income. Because it is in your giving of your best that proves that you are a good steward of God. Perhaps some of us here, we may not be earning much. Or perhaps some of us, we may be struggling with life. Just like the widow of Zarephath, for whatever little that you have, You give of your best. It's not the amount. It's your giving of that best to God that proves that you're a good steward of God. Now, if we may pause a while and think about it, what are the things that God has entrusted to us? To you this morning, sitting here, just think about it. What has God entrusted to you? Now, these are the silhouettes representing the different stages of our lives. Now, there are a few common things that God has entrusted to us. He entrusted what? Our resources, money, our car, our house, materials, etc., etc. You can add to the list. How can you be a good steward of all this? That's not the all. God also entrusted to us relationships, our family, relatives, friends, colleagues. God wants us to be good steward of all this. How are you doing as a steward of all this? And again, that's not all. God entrusted to us our life. How are we stewarding ourselves spiritually? How well are we taking care of our health? And how much have we used our life to be a blessing to others? Time, usage. How do you use your time? And how often, how diligent are we in seizing those opportunities that comes our way to be a blessing to others every day of our lives, wherever we are? You see, this picture like this looks very neat, but there is a problem. Not everyone is given the same talents. We are given differing talents in the different things that we have. Some may have more money, but while they have more money, they got less health. Right? Some got more time, but they have a lot of opportunities. Some are married, some are single. Some have big families, some got small families. Some have more friends, some have less friends. Some have very large family. Some will be very busy with work, or some will be very busy with family needs. In fact, what we have more now may change as we grow older. So we need to decide which of these are worth how many talents. Sometimes your money may be only one talent, but you have a five talent family for you to be a good steward of, etc., etc. So we need to decide how many are worth how many talents and correspondingly invest and multiply them. Now, if we were to look back at the parable, we have a five talent Christian, we have a two talent Christian, and we have a one talent Christian. This is life. Some have more, some have less. God bless some with more, God bless some with less. And if we really believe God is the heavenly master who owns everything, life, wealth, health, children, spouses, friends, etc., etc., we also have to believe that he has the consummate knowledge and the reason to give one, to give two, and to give five talents to whoever he knows best. And God did not put a numerical tab on how much we need to multiply or how much we can use our resources for ourselves. He only wants one thing. He expects us to give our 100% devotion and trust and dependence upon him. The one talent Christian is expected to know more and know less. So how much have we or have we not really is irrelevant. What is important is what we do with what we have. Now, do you know which areas of your life is how many talents now? Now, if you are a student, you may not have much money or time. Maybe that's one talent that you have. Still, what can you do with it? As a student, you have much relationships to build with so many school friends. Definitely a 5 talents. What will you do with it? Now, if you're a working adult or with young children, you may not have much spare time. You need to work, put in a lot of effort at work in the office, or you need to spend time with your children, taking care of them. It's natural. There's nothing wrong with that. But you may have more finances, maybe 5, or at least 2 talents. If you had to look at your credit card, look at your bills, where do your finances mostly go to? How are you stewarding your finances? If you are senior adults, Mel, perhaps you may have more time on your hand. Look at your appointments. How do you spend your time? Now, perhaps you can think of many more categories than I have on this slide here, because the possibilities are plentiful. But there is only one principle. Whether we are young or old, whether we have more or we have less, we are all God's stewards. He is our master. Now, let me end with the testimony of a young lady. She wrote that she grew up in a Christian family, but for many years she was a skeptical Christian. She attended church but had never committed to giving or serving and never bothered about her Christian identity and testimony. She would just go anywhere she wants, do whatever she wants, say whatever she wants. Because to her, Christianity was her religion. Because she was brought up that way. She was brought up going to church on Sundays. That's it. That's why every Sunday when she's at church, she said she was always looking out for some wrong things in the church to give her a reason to stop going to church. And when she found one, she stopped going to the church. And later on, after that Sunday, don't know what to do, go back to church because it was a habit. And one day, while attending service, she said she fell so sound asleep that she didn't know the service had ended. Anyone of you here? When she woke up, she said she saw an elderly lady limping through the pews, picking up some things and then putting it into her bag. The young lady was sure that she found the reason to leave church again. She rushed over, she caught hold of the elderly lady's hand and saw, wow, what a pencils for sermon notes leh. Pencils you also want to steal leh. You know. Then she was so angry with her. And then just then the pastor walked in and then said to her, oh, you must have worked late last night. Hope you have had a good rest just now. And the pastor put his arm around the elderly lady and said, this is Brenda here. Brenda lost almost everything in the storm a few years ago, and which also took her husband's life. Well, as we try to rebuild this town here, Brenda continued to use whatever she had. In fact, she started our soup kitchen here. She cooked, she provided for the survivors, and the soup kitchen continued to run after all these years under Brenda's charge. But some months ago, she fell and she fractured her pelvis. And it was only a few weeks ago that she was well enough to return. But the young lady was adamant to find a reason to leave the church. And she said, I know she is poor and needy, but still, she should not be stealing things in the church. And then the elderly lady replied her, no, 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 I am not stealing the pencils. It's just that I can't help in the soup kitchen after the accident. But I know God preserved my life in the storm. I know God healed me and made me able to walk again for a purpose. And since I can't do much, I thought I could at least help bring home the pencils to sharpen them. So the next week, church members can have nice sharp pencils for their sermon notes. Let's pray. Lord, you have heard the prayer of your people, even now. Help us, Lord, to be a good steward. In Jesus' name.